talk about experiences with living with epilepsy, and I have no relationships to disclose. So people with chronic conditions experience significant challenges to adapting to and managing their conditions. And epilepsy is a common neurological disorder that affects almost 30 million Americans. It's characterized by seizures, which are caused by abnormal electrical activity in the brain, and it can result in staring spells, to muscle twitches, to the full-out convulsions that people usually think about with seizures. And one of the main stressors of having seizures is the unpredictability of the seizure. And while many people can achieve seizure control on medications or with other treatments like brain surgery, up to 30% of people with epilepsy cannot control their seizures. And epilepsy has pervasive effects on cognitive life limitations and psychosocial limitations. So seizures and the medications can cause memory difficulties and also difficulties with concentration and confusion. And epilepsy curtails life goals. Every state has restrictions on driving for people with epilepsy, and therefore they can have difficulties with work and at school and disruptions in social activities. And finally, seizures exert a heavy psychosocial toll. People with epilepsy have high rates of depression and often feel isolated and dependent on others. And they still experience a lot of stigma because a lot of people don't know a lot about epilepsy and may feel scared or not know what to do if they witness a seizure. So support for epilepsy is associated with better self-rated health and better quality of life. However, there's really not a lot of literature about how people are supported and who supports them. The current literature does say that caregivers are mainly partners or spouses and family, mainly parents. And these caregivers do experience distress and reduced quality of life, and epilepsy can restrict family activities and relationships. So regarding support for epilepsy, there are two main gaps in the literature. First, there is limited information on how people with epilepsy are supported, and support is expected to, the need for support is expected to differ depending on seizure control. And again, the perspective of the support person is very limited in the literature, so it's important to understand how epilepsy affects the caregivers as well. So my research question for this part of the presentation is, what are the experiences of living with epilepsy for people with epilepsy and the primary support person? So this is part of my dissertation. So this is a qualitative piece of a mixed method study. Participants were recruited from a tertiary epilepsy center, and the person with epilepsy referred their primary support person. Everyone had to be an adult 18 years of age or older and also speak and read English. And people with epilepsy had to have a diagnosis for at least 3 months. And after they completed a survey, selected participants were invited to take part in an interview. These were in-depth interviews conducted over the phone, and I used a semi-structured interview guide that covered various domains such as seizure and epilepsy experiences, effects of epilepsy on their lives, the support that are received and provided, and the relationship between the person with epilepsy and their support provider. So the interviews were recorded and transcribed. The analysis was based on grounded theory, whereby I had some codes that I identified prior based on the literature and research questions, and some codes that emerged from the narratives. And descriptions of experiences were analyzed to identify relationships between themes and overall patterns. So I interviewed 38 people. There were 22 people with epilepsy and 16 support persons. There were 14 complete pairs and an additional 10 people. So the data represents 24 relationships. The support providers were mainly parents or spouses. Just over half were parents and about a third were spouses. And then there were a few others that were either siblings, friends, or one child. So the experiences of living with epilepsy were explained by several key factors. Both individuals had emotional responses to seizures, which included fear, anxiety, and feelings of lack of control or helplessness. Over time, however, seizures became normalized or part of everyday life. This was especially true when the person with epilepsy started having seizures as a child. For people who had started having seizures more recently, this process hadn't quite occurred yet because the pair were still adapting to the seizures. And another main theme was the desire for people with epilepsy to live a, quote, normal life, to do things that other people their age were doing. So illness intrusiveness is a concept that became very important to explain the lived experiences. seizures and treatment factors interfere with and disrupt valued activities. And then, so it's influenced by treatment and seizure factors, and it in turn influences quality of life. So I'm going to talk about four main things: driving, jobs and education, independence, and relationships. When asked how epilepsy affects their life, not being able to drive was the number one concern for people with epilepsy. If you have uncontrolled seizures, you can't drive, and therefore you're often relying on your support person for rides, which can be time-consuming and inconvenient for the support provider. Or the person with epilepsy may be stuck at home, which increases the limitations to get out to work or go to school or have social interactions. And then for people who could drive, the threat of losing their license was strongly felt. So they worked diligently to manage their condition to prevent having another seizure. Oh, and the quote is, "The actual seizure doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the losing my car, losing the ability to drive. And it's more the overall loss of independence, because you become wholly dependent on other people to do for you, which to me is a fate worse than death." So if you can't drive, it's hard to get to jobs or school, and also the memory and confusion and concentration difficulties also impact these things. So while some people accepted that they could not work, others felt extremely limited. And this woman said, "And because I can't drive, I can't get a job. So with that, I ended up getting disability, because if I can't get a job, I can't get health insurance." And then people who were working but had infrequent seizures had issues of having to disclose their seizures to their employers or needing flexibility to an accommodation in case they had a seizure. And for support persons, particularly parents, they needed to choose jobs sometimes that were close to the person with epilepsy in case they had a seizure, and they needed the flexibility to be able to get to them. So this person said, "I've been real careful not to take too much work. I try to stay with her so she doesn't get depressed and might be all alone. I think that's helped her a lot too, just having someone there." And both people placed a lot of value on independence. This was linked with normality, what's expected or perceived as a normal life, and particularly being able to take care of oneself. So this father on the right said, "I wanted her to stand on her own two feet, be totally independent of me, because you know I'm not going to last forever." And independence is really based on seizure control. So people who had uncontrolled seizures felt a lot more dependent, and they felt guilty and frustrated oftentimes because they had to rely on others. And this person with epilepsy said, "My family helps me, but I mean that's not enough for me, you know. I can't depend on them the whole time. That's not fair." And also dependence was greater among young adult children, who in some cases were transitioning from adolescence to adulthood. And this is a normal process, but it seemed to be lengthened and complicated by epilepsy. People with epilepsy and their support providers, they provided each other with support. There was this reciprocity, particularly emotional and instrumental support. But some of this was support that would be provided even if epilepsy wasn't there, and some of it was from the support provider to help deal with the epilepsy. Touching on the reciprocity, sometimes the person with epilepsy felt they couldn't pay their support provider back. So this person said, "I always carry the worry of carrying a debt, and it's more that I want to do for him because he's done so much for me." And having epilepsy and providing support caused strain in some of the relationships, though it did bring some people closer. And relationship strain was most apparent among spouses, particularly if the person with epilepsy had uncontrolled seizures, because the spouse was put into a caregiving role that they might not have expected. And then for parents, oftentimes this type of caregiving is sort of built into their family role, so it didn't seem quite as burdensome in most cases. And then finally, epilepsy had a big impact on quality of life. For people with epilepsy, it was isolating and it produced anxiety and depression. This person said, "The most important thing for me, I guess, is trying to maintain a good quality of life while everything else just kind of goes. I still want to live the fullest life I can given my medical situation." And for support providers, it was stressful, they felt strained, it was tiring and taxing to provide a lot of support, especially if the person had uncontrolled seizures. However, if they had support themselves, it was a lot easier for them because they were able to share the tasks share tasks involved in supporting the person with epilepsy or receive the support they needed. Okay, so I'm running out of time, so very quickly, illness intrusiveness affects both the people with epilepsy and their support persons, and the relationship strain is greater with greater caregiving burden, and this is, there's similarities to caregivers of people with dementia and stroke when caregiving is all-encompassing. And finally, for future directions, reducing illness intrusiveness could improve quality of life, and we could look at strategies such as improving public transportation, increasing employment and education accommodations, and making sure there's support for caregivers. And then finally, including people, the support people in quality of life interventions. Any questions? Having them once a day, multiple times a day, once a week. There were even some people who would have them every six months to a year. And that girl in particular was like, I don't know if my medication is working or not because I don't know if I'm going to have it. But generally, the uncontrolled seizures.